Hi, I'm Joan Neuberger, editor of Not Even Past, and your host for today's episode of 50 Minute History. Our guest today is John Merriman, a distinguished professor of history at Yale. Hi, John. Welcome to 15 Minute History.
Thank you very much. It's very nice to be here.
John has just published a new book on the last of the great revolutions that occurred in France, the Paris Commune of 1871. The book is called Massacre, The Life and Death of the Paris Commune. So, John, this very short-lived revolutionary experiment was actually very complicated. On the one hand, it was called the Festival of the Oppressed. It was the largest urban uprising in Europe in the 19th century. But then very quickly, it ended in a horrific massacre. So let's start, if you don't mind, with a short overview of what the Paris Commune was, and then we'll turn to talk about causes and results and things
sure.
like that.
Sure. Well, the Paris Commune began on March 18th, 1871, when very ordinary people, above all women, in Montmartre, on the edge of Paris, which just had been annexed into Paris in 1860, when they suddenly saw troops were coming from Versailles to take the cannons of the National Guard, who had defended Paris against the Prussian siege that took place during the Franco-Prussian War. And they alerted the menfolk, who were still asleep, and with men, women, and children, they stopped the troops from taking the cannons down the hill from Montmartre. They also discovered two generals who were infamous for their repression of ordinary people and put them up against the wall, for better or for worse, and gunned them down. At that point, the head of the provisional government, a guy called Adolphe Thiers, withdrew the troops of the Versailles provisional government out of Paris and encircled Paris and prepared to crush the Commune. The Commune de Paris lasted from March 18th, 1871, until May 28th of the same year, 1871, when it was crushed in a bloodbath by the troops of Versailles. It was during this period that two important things happened. One is that ordinary people put forth their claims for a more just world, for the right to have Paris to have a mayor, to have better wages, women to have better conditions of life, etc. It was a time of big dreams. The second thing that happened, most important thing, is that in a way it anticipated the demons of the 20th century, when you could be killed for simply being who you were. And Bloody Week lasted, and it was indeed that, from the 21st of May and the 28th of May, when the Commune came to a bloody and brutal end.
Well, let's talk about the causes then. They have to be seen both in internal domestic politics of France, but also in international politics. Let's start with the Franco-Prussian War. Tell us how that contributed.
Well, the Emperor of France was the nephew of Napoleon I, and he was called Napoleon III. And he managed, for a variety of improbable reasons, to get France in a war with Prussia and its German allies. And to say the least, the war went badly. They are blown out almost everywhere. The French army is by superior troops with superior cannon, above all. And Paris is surrounded, is besieged, really, from the beginning of September until late January 1871. There were lots of coffins carrying old people and young, very young children and babies, a time of great hardship. Parisians wanted to continue the fight, hoping against hope that some kind of foreign intervention would arrive, or that Lyon and Marseille and other places might send troops to end the siege. But they finally are defeated, and France is forced to sign an armistice in which France lost all of Alsace, which was largely German-speaking, I might add, and much of Lorraine, which became part of the new German Empire, which was proclaimed, oddly enough, in the Palace of the Hall of Mirrors in the Chateau of Versailles. And it was the provisional government that signed this armistice with Prussia and subsequently with the German Empire. And when elections returned a very conservative, monarchically inclined deputies to create the new France in the legislature, it led to the event when the army of Thiers go up to Montmartre and other places, Belleville as well, to try to take the cannons. And the Paris Commune is proclaimed at the Hôtel de Ville several days after the events of the 18th of March.
So the war was experienced very differently in Paris than in the rest of France?
Yeah, there was fighting in the Loire. There was an army of the Loire. But basically, the fighting was in the east. Napoleon III himself was captured at Sedan in the Ardennes, right near the Belgian border, thus northeast, well northeast of Paris. But it was the Parisians who suffered the most, as Paris was to be starved out by the German armies, the Prussian armies, and their allies.
So what brought about the end of that? Was it the war that brought about the end of the Second Empire, Napoleon III?
Yes, the war.
And then what brought Adolphe Thiers to power?
Well, he became the provisional, elected the provisional president of the fledging regime in Bordeaux, the legislators meeting in
Bordeaux. Was that a
republic? Well, it wasn't yet a republic. That was it. A lot of Parisians thought they were going to install a monarchy, or at best, a very, very conservative and clerically inclined republic led by Thiers. So there was lots of tension there. And it was Thiers who referred to ordinary people as the vile multitude. And so there were tensions there. And at the end of the Second Empire, there had been, you know, a really important movement of workers debating politics, having the right to discuss finally the political world in the hangars, or the sort of warehouses of the periphery in Paris. And there was a Republican/socialist movement. But the war, Napoleon III brought the fall, the collapse of the Third Empire upon himself with this improbable war against Prussia.
So let's go back to Paris then. Was the commune workers against elites, was it a class politics, or was it Paris against the rest of France, or is it both?
Well, it was both. I mean, because, you know, a classic Marxist interpretation, or these are sort of proto, you know, proletarians. They were, you know, some of them were proletarians, but most of them were artisans. And when life was good, they could get by. But they had a lot of middle-class support, too. A lot of middle-class intellectuals were involved in this. There were parts of France, there were cities like Saint-Étienne and Lyon and Marseille that were extremely leaning towards supporting the commune. But you had lots of conservative France, particularly in the west of France, where people were against the commune and had always resented Paris and didn't necessarily speak French. And in fact, the army that crushed the communards, that slaughtered men, but also women and some children. During Bloody Week of 1871, many of the soldiers were Bretons. They were from Brittany, and they didn't speak French at all, basically, or many were from Normandy and other conservative districts, parts of the north of France. So it's more a class analysis won't completely do, nor will just a Paris versus the provinces interpretation work. You know, it was a complex time, but it was a time of dreams and of hope, and that's what made me want to write this book about it. You know, I picked a number of people on both sides whose lives I wanted to follow, and sadly, for many of them, whose deaths I was able to recount. So, you know, it's a lot of fun to research and a lot of ups and downs in writing about this. This was, you could be killed for simply existing. You know, it makes me think a little bit, you know, to use popular, shouldn't do this probably, but you could be killed for simply existing. 41 shots, hands up, don't shoot. You could be killed if you were Polish. You could be killed if you spoke Russian. You could be killed if you had a working class accent, if you spoke with what we call in French an accent faubourien, if you spoke from the edge of margins of city life, if you had rough hands, it was a world of work. You were identified with being a worker and it'd be up against the wall with you if you were from certain parts of Paris.